What up, craftlings, and welcome to the Minecraft Short Stories podcast. If you've been here before, then welcome back. This episode today, we have two listener stories. The first one by Chase, the second by Sebastian. These stories were submitted through my website. If you did not know, my website is minecraftshortstories.com. There is a link inside the description, or you can just type it in, Minecraft Short Stories, all lowercase, no spaces. And you can submit your story. There's also some other stuff around there. I am regularly updating the site because it is costing me a decent amount of money per month, so I don't want to just leave it. So maybe check out the site once in a while. There could be something new there. I know this intro is being long, but while you're down there, there is YouTube. I do have a YouTube channel. If we reach 1,000 subscribers, I'll do a three-way collab. So that's also inside the description. Consider subscribing. It would help me out a ton. But anyway, let's get right into these stories.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Thank you to Chase for submitting the story. We all know about the warden, a mob that gets super angry at sounds. But why does it? Also, why does the warden get angry if it smells you? Well, it all started a long time ago, when there was peace in the entire land. The Ender Dragon and Endermen provided chorus fruit to the overworld. The zombie skeletons and creepers would contribute precious gems. The villagers would contribute wood and other food like carrots and wheat. And the underground villages would help build structures. And their bastions provide the best tools forged in all the land, and the fortresses would store any extra material in their chests. Nothing could ever live more harmoniously. But there was a beast that would rise yearly in the underground villages. But the villagers found a way to live happily with the beast. They would throw a yearly festival for the beast, with sweet food and music. The most important part of it was music. At the end of every festival, they would play a farewell song for the beast, with a bamboo flute. It was the beast's favorite thing to listen to. Now, let's get to the part where it all started to go wrong. The chief of the underground village had gone to the Bastion Forge to upgrade its interior for the piglins. The chief's child was being trained to play the flute since the chief was getting very old. The young boy was struggling with this fabulous instrument, always playing the wrong note or stuttering too much. With the event approaching fast, the above-ground villagers prepared their gourmet specialties, while the underground village set up the party. The chief came back from the nether, ready to play the flute one last time for the beast, before handing over the responsibility to his son. The young master had begun to master the flute, playing it more smoothly than ever. The sun was rising for the day of the festival, and they heard the noise they were familiar with, a digging noise from the ground. Chapter 2, The Party. Everyone cheered, and the townspeople showed the beast around the place, since at this time it could still see. It liked this year more than last year, and more guests had arrived like the piglins, blazes, wither skeletons, and zombie pigmen. They popped out of the portal they had constructed at the north of the city. From the caves leading to the city appeared their zombies, skeletons, and creepers. From the south side appeared the above-ground villagers, from the shortcut designed by the city. And from the west and east swooshed the dragon, endermen, and shulkers. This was the biggest party they had ever hosted. Everyone chatted, ate food, and the children played with the warden. All went well, and it was time for the farewell song. This was the chief's final song, and she was going to be able to play. All went well until the chief started to cough, and then she fainted. She was rushed to the emergency center while no one was able to play it. But the chief's son had stepped up and started to play. Everyone was scared what would happen if he messed up. And at the best part of the music, he messed up due to not being great with crowds. The beast started to get irritated due to the mess up, but he went with it. Chapter 3, The Rampage. Then came another mess up, and another. The beast was so agitated it started to go on a rampage, attacking anything it could see. This is when the piglins stepped in with their hand-forged weapons. The leader of the piglins was so aggressive that the warden was overwhelmed by his strength, that he used a boom attack against him, knocking all the nether mobs back into the portal. But at the last minute, the king threw his two axes, saying his last words, "Be banished from the sense of sight," and threw his pickaxe at the portal, breaking it, to protect his people. The axes hit the target perfectly, hitting the eyes of the beast and blinding him. Now he was so irritated that the dragon, all her allies, endermen, and shulkers, started their attack. The Enderman stirring using the fighting techniques the above-ground villagers taught them, and the Shulker stirring shooting their ancient bullets of levitation at it. The dragon made her move. She started spraying her void breath at the beast, her deadliest attack. But it used up so much of her energy that she had to retreat back to the end, later dying. That is why the dragon we know can't do that, since her youngling took over and hadn't finished her training. The End warriors were overwhelmed by how fast and strong the beast was punching them, one by one, into the portal. The last Enderman ran to the portal and sacrificed himself to take the eyes out of the portal, so the beast couldn't reach their dimension, soon dying to the long boom the beast shot at him. Now it was left to the above-ground villagers and the mobs we know today. Creepers and the zombies went in with a close-range attack, while the skeletons were staying back and firing their barrage of flaming arrows. The Warren was able to easily manipulate their minds and make them fight against the villagers. They were all running for their lives. All the underground villagers were plundered in the fight, but some above-ground villagers escaped the fight. This is why you can find ruined villages, and villagers can't place blocks. The kind that knew how were demolished. Also, you can find other structures, like the fortresses, that are still under construction. New ruined bastions that were downgraded with how worn out they became since their last repairs. And the underground villages have been from then forward called the Ancient Cities, since the only thing that roams around there is the beast, still waiting for someone to play the flute for it one last time. Thank you, Cole, for submitting that story. I like all the lore stories we're getting now. It really does liven Minecraft up. Thanks again for that. And let's get on to the next story. Thanks to Sebastian for submitting this. It is called Big Discovery. One day, Steve was mining underground for lapis lazuli, which he would use to enchant his armor. While he was mining, he stumbled upon a mossy stone brick wall. He broke one of the strange blocks, and his silverfish jumped out at him. He quickly switched out his pickaxe for his sword and sliced it in two. Steve thought he was lucky because he wasn't being swarmed. He picked up the experience points and peered into the hole in the wall and saw a silverfish spawner and more silverfish crawling towards him. He made the hole in the wall two by one and quickly deactivated the spawner and killed the silverfish. He looked around and saw a lot of bookshelves and two loot chests. He knew bookshelves only spawned naturally in villages and strongholds, and this was no village. He opened the chest, excited, and found 10 diamonds, gold horse armor, 5 ender pearls, and an enchanted book of sharpness 3. He mined some of the bookshelves to max out the enchantment level on his enchantment table. Then Steve tried to remember some of the stronghold layouts he read about, but thought about how one book said they were all different. Then he went around and searched for the importer room. At first it seemed like some of the rooms were empty, but when he looked closer, he noticed some skeletons. He got his bows and arrows and shot them post-haste. He collected the experience points and bones he dropped and moved along. He checked out some of the other rooms and mostly found stone bricks and hostile mobs. But then he stepped inside a large room lined with bookshelves and torches. Another library. Steve was upset because he thought it was the importer room, but instantly upped his positivity when he saw the two loot chests. "I'm getting a serious case of deja vu," he said to no one in particular. Steve slowly peeked into the chest and found diamond horse armor, 14 ender pearls, and an enchanted gold sword. He put the items in his inventory, which was now getting quite full of all the stacks of stone bricks he was collecting, and trudged along on his quest to finally find the importal. Steve passed many other rooms, but he only got bones and rotten flesh from skeletons and zombies. Sometimes, when he tried to mine a stone brick or mossy stone brick, silverfish appeared. Steve swiftly slashed them all and collected the experience points he dropped. Because he was slaying so many hostile mobs, he had gained 5 experience levels, which he would use to enchant his armor. His armor was only iron and some gold, so it broke constantly. While he was checking out one room, he heard a strange Steve whipped around and came face to face with a Vindicator. He ducked down and just barely missed the axe the Vindicator had. Steve slid under the mob's legs and slashed him with his sword. Since Vindicators only have 5 hearts, defeating him was easy. Steve was amazed he had taken only a small amount of damage. Even though he was placing torches every once in a while, hostile mobs were still spawning frequently. He had seen many iron doors linked to different floors of the stronghold, but he was confident it was on the lowest floor, aka the one he was on. He had also seen more Vindicators and skeletons behind some of the doors, so he decided to stay on his floor until he found either the end portal room or didn't find it on this floor. Eventually, he saw a couple of silverfish coming towards him, even though the spawner was probably close, and the spawner means end portal. Faster than he had ever done before, he stabbed and slashed all the silverfish and disabled the spawner. Then he mined it so he could use it to step up the combat area in his house. Steve looked around and saw two pools of lava, some iron bars, and the disabled silverfish spawner. But the most exciting thing in the room was the aim portal, up some stairs and 8 blocks ahead of him. He almost passed out with excitement. Only 6 of the aim portal frames had the mysterious eyes of Ender in them, so he checked his inventory and pulled out 6 more. Steve slowly placed them in, making sure he did it right. Right when he placed the last eye, the portal turned on. It looked like a chunk of the void was right in front of him. He put it on a crafting table and crafted a bed, then a chest. The new items down side by side. He started to set his respawn point, but realized he was very tired and needed to sleep, so that's what he did. When he woke up, he put his most valuable items in the chest. Then he put his sword in a hotbar slot and slowly crept up to the portal. When he convinced himself it would be fun to visit the End Dimension, he jumped in the portal. "Whoa," Steve said as he spawned.
"Ah!"
Steve yelled as the Ender Dragon killed him. The end. As in, the end of the story, not the dimension. Thank you, Sebastian, for submitting this story. And also thank you, the listener, for listening. I will see you next week. That is a promise. Next Wednesday. In less extenuating circumstances. So, I'll see you then. Bye.